each week with some ridiculously amazing guests and learning from them right out of their own thoughts, their own opinions, their own mouths, basically telling me right in front of me how they got to where they got to and what they achieved and how they achieved it. And for us as listeners, for myself as a host, for anyone wanting to take their games to the next level, I got to pull that information out of them and allow us to grab hold of that, apply the same principles, and gain results similar to what they achieved. And that's what we did basically week in, week out since my first episode to now. This is going to be number 40 and a recap of the year. We've had a huge number of amazing guests, and we've consistently done that and done that for you guys out there to really take your games to the next level, whether it be in sport, whether it be with your own business, whether it be in your career, or whether it be at school studying, whatever it is. This is for you guys to listen and learn and hopefully get entertained by some of the stories and great conversations I get to have with these amazing people. So this whole wrap-up of the year is going to be about my major learnings for the year of 2015. And to tell you the truth, there are a lot. And there, each week we're doing around an hour or 45-minute episodes, plus more on top of that, obviously, with before and after conversations. So there's a huge amount of material and a huge amount of amazing stuff. But there were common themes. And I have gone with the 20 major things, the major key learnings that I have learned for 2015 from all the guests, from world champion athletes like Benita Willis to multi-millionaires like James Schramko to AFL football legends like Simon Madden. There are some superstars here, and each and every one of them has got some amazing strategies, tips for us all to grab a hold of and take our games and empower our greatness. So guys, I'm going to get stuck in with these 20 learnings from 2015, and we're going to take them with the first one being I learned from a guy in episode number seven, Mark Dobson. Now, this is all about finding your vision, and to be honest, it is absolutely integral, and I think it's a theme I found throughout more than just obviously Mark, but in his episode we touched on it the most, and I think it's a great way to start about your own destiny, about where you're headed, about what you want to become, what you want to be proud of with your life, and where you see yourself going, and the identity you attach to that. And it was really all about really finding your own vision, your own personal vision, and finding your identity to back that up. So in terms of identity, we'll start with that. It's all about, you know, finding key values that you're going to live by, finding key things that you are going to guide your decisions with, that who you are, that you're going to live out every day. Now, these could be things like, you know, courage, being a loving person, being, you know, proactive, being a very committed person, dedicated person, passionate person, you know, these type of things. You know, real health is going to be a huge maybe value for you and an identity thing for you. So it's really about finding those core values and really aligning that with your vision. Now, your vision is basically above that. Imagine it again a bit like a hierarchy. At the top is your own vision, and come second is your identity. So with your vision, it's really, you sort of get it down to a few words, and it takes a bit of a workshop, but I am not going to spend a whole heap of time here explaining. That's a whole nother topic of conversation and workshopping hour or two, but basically having your own vision for yourself. And obviously mine, along with this podcast, is empowering your greatness. So whatever I'm trying to do with my life is regarding to empowering people to live out their absolute best selves, to be their absolute best version of themselves. And that's what I'm all about. And so the things I do, whether it be podcasts, whether it be speaking engagements, one-on-one coaching sessions with individuals, team coaching sessions, high performance type activities, that's what I'm all about. And therefore it all flows on from my own vision. At the top of the tree, at the top of the hierarchy, is my vision. And that's what I learned from Mark Dobson in episode 7. Mitch was early on, and it was an absolute ripper to get to sit down with him. He's been in the industry for over 20 years, teaching absolute the ultimate athletes, business people, corporate. He has done a whole heap, and Mark Dobson is a real guy I look up to and learn a lot off. and it was super to have him on episode 7, so definitely check that out. Now, the second learning, I'm going to go straight on, is to following your passion. This is a learning that was common throughout so many of my guests, and it's something that I am totally getting better at day in, day out. And actually, just on this topic, is someone else I really admire and does this very well is also Joe Rogan. Now, he has one of the best podcasts in the world, and I admire his podcast, and he absolutely loves doing that, obviously, day in, day out. Similar style to mine, interviewing amazing guests each week. And but it's just the way he, with him following his passion, he does, you know, he loves martial arts, so he's a commentator for the UFC. He loves health. He's right into his diet. He loves fitness. He's into his exercise. You know, he does a whole heap of stuff that he's just loves and so passionate about. And he talks about how it's, you know, it's just fun for him. He loves it. And that's what he does. And I think just recently he's one that really stuck out to me, really following his passions. But I really learned through it through my guests was Benjamin J. Harvey, episode 13. Now, Ben's just out of Sydney. He runs his own company, Authentic Education, and he is an absolute superstar in this space. And finding your passion and following it and really making it commercially viable is probably the key thing he's really good at. And really making your life and building a life around your passion, which is super exciting. And I think so many of my guests, another one rings the bell is episode 28 with Brenton Ford, who is a swim coach and basically a swim trainer for a whole heap of triathletes and swimmers, taking the game to, you know, the level in swimming to, you know, increase it and getting better. And he's really following his passion, and I love sitting down with him and going through that. And he's run his own business now, Effortless Swimming, around that. And it was cool to, you know, catch up with him and talk about how he took it as a swimmer, as a young guy, through high school, competing at national level. Obviously didn't make the Olympic level, but now still following his passion and running Ironmans and all sorts of crazy things. He's a particular guy that I learned on. So really following your passion was a massive key learning for me for 2015, and something that I am definitely following. Really just, you know, finding out what gets you excited, like what gets your eyes lit up, what get your hands rubbing together a bit and gets a smile on your face, and you just switch on and everything else goes silent and you're just like, this is what I love to do. Now, it could be something, anything. It could be horse riding, it could be running, it could be cooking, it could be reading, it could be, you know, studying to be a doctor, whatever it is. It's just really chasing those passions down. And, you know, it could be crazy, it could be collecting cards, it could be clothes, it could be, you know, wood shopping, anything. What is your passion? What gets you excited? Like, what would get you out of bed in the morning if it was 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. or, and you were just like, bam, out of bed, excited for this? You know, it might be, you know, riding motorbikes, who knows what it is. Whatever it is, what gets you excited and really following those passions. And from Ben, particularly Ben Harvey, episode 13, is all about making it commercially viable. And actually, just another story, I was just before Christmas, I had to buy my uncle a present for Christmas, and he's actually a bit of a challenge to buy for. He's a particular guy, but he's actually my godfather, so I was really trying to find something cool for him. But anyway, he bought a motorbike a few weeks back, and I thought I'd buy him something for that, and obviously bought most of the gear. But anyway, I went into the store, and I end up talking to the guy there, and he actually knew who my uncle was, and he was like looking at this particular item, and he thought he had it yet at this stage. So anyway, I got him this item, and that was all good. And on Christmas Day, he got the present. I think he was pretty happy with that. But the story, what I'm trying to make is this guy who ran that motorbike store had a motorbike. He had probably 20 odd bikes there for sale. He had gear for sale, just in sale in Gippsland in Australia here, a small little town and where I'm from, and originally from, I should say. And I just thought, this guy, I know this particular guy, and he absolutely loves motorcycles. And I just thought for a second, wow, this guy is really chasing up his dream. And every day, you probably doesn't feel like work for him. He's just out there talking bikes, you know, talking equipment for bikes, you know, talking to guys who love the same passion as him. So he's talking to people who, you know, love what he loves. And I think for him, even though he might be able to make more money somewhere else, he could have probably worked on oil rigs or gone and anywhere, started other businesses and made more money. Maybe not. I don't know. But the story is he's running a shop that was selling motorcycles, and to me, he just looked like he was living out his passion, because I know he was a serious motorcycle enthusiast, and he was getting to do that every day, and I thought that was just incredible. So point two would be to follow your passion. Point three on following your passion, this is perfect. Don't be afraid to fail and dream big. Now, this one gets thrown around a lot. Don't be afraid to fail and don't be afraid to fail. I like to try and dissect it a bit more and don't be afraid to fail. It's more about really sitting down and what you actually finding out, actually what is holding you back. And there's different things. And you can ask yourself different questions, simply like, what would happen if I do this? And what would happen if I don't do this? And what would happen if I do this, but do this in a couple of years or in 5 years? Like, what's going to happen in that time frame? And you can ask yourself those type of questions and really dig down and find out what are the root and the cause of your timidness. Can't say that right now. In regards to taking that big leap. And one guy I love this year, and we followed his journey because he's one of my really close friends, Tyson Popplestone's journey of chasing Everest. Now, there is probably no bigger dream than climbing the biggest, baddest mountain on the planet. And Tyson, this time last year, about December, January 2015, basically the last 12 months, chased that dream. And he started off with episode 2 where we caught up, and so he was very early on. And we followed it with episode 9, 26, and the final one, 38, 39, which was a two-part series. And basically throughout the time, he chased it. He went on national television, national radio programs, news. He chased sponsorship from all the big companies, worked day in, day out. And on top of that, training day in, day out, getting fit as fit, gym, hiking, climbing, going into altitude rooms, all those sorts of things. Like, crazy amount of work in this particular year. And what I'm trying to say, he chased the big dream and he did some incredible things. And even though at the end of it, he didn't pass the test, as you were listening in episode 38, if you haven't listened to 38, 39, I say get on to it. He had two peaks to climb. One, he got sick on basically and was unable to tick that box and get the green light to chase his Everest dream for 2016. The company he was with won't let him climb Everest because he didn't tick this particular box because of a... I don't ruin it for you, but he got food poisoning on this particular climb, and there was no time to go back and go up that particular mountain this year, so he's going to have to postpone it to future years to go back. But what I'm trying to say is he went after the big dream, and so many of the people I interviewed chasing their goals, you go back to... Dion Finocchiario, who was running the ultra marathons, chasing those big dreams, breaking records, 6-hour track record, mind you, over 80K in 6 hours on track. Ridiculous. To Steve Baker, AFL star, like, he wouldn't say he's the most talented guy, but, he chased the dream and wasn't afraid to fail and really, become one of the best players, for his role. Best and fairest winner, played in 3 grand finals, absolute superstar. So, guys, it's really about chasing that dream, and don't be afraid of it. There's nothing wrong with being in the arena and beaten down and a bit bloodied and a bit sweaty and unable to get back up, unable to answer the bell for one more round. But at least you were out there and you discovered what you can achieve and whether you can go ahead, and not, sitting around your grave. Actually, one of my favorite little passages of wisdom is from Les Brown, and he talks about when you're dying, we won't touch on this later, but when you're dead and you're laying in your coffin and you're 6 feet on the ground, this is a reality. 90% of us will be, or whatever percentage of us get buried, cremated, whatever it is. You're basically 6 foot down, and at that point, the ghosts of yourself, who have done things that you could have done, like goals, climb mountains, started businesses, had families, asked that girl out, whatever it was, or guy out, whatever it was, they'll be standing around you and be like, we came to you. We're the ideas. We're the people you could have become, and you didn't chase us. And, you know, and now all those ideas, all those brilliant ideas and things you could have achieved are going to die with you in that box 6 feet underground under dirt that will never be brought to daylight in this world again because you didn't chase them. And Tyson, I felt, chased it. He was one of the key ones. So I just thought, wow, he's chasing up the big dream, even though with minimal experience, didn't matter. Threw it back. People told him he can't do it. And who knows, maybe he might not get never get there. But man, did he have a crack this year. And I think it probably had all the guests, potentially had the biggest crack for this 2015 in terms of chasing a massive dream. So he was a big one in that. So that was number three. Don't be afraid to fail and dream big. Now, the next point is, principle I learned, is going to be surrounding yourself with greatness. This is all about getting people around you who are super at what they do, getting the right team around you, surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded, who are chasing similar things to you, who are really high achievers, who people you want to be like. Not people you don't want to be like, hang around people you want to be like. And not even people necessarily on your shoulder. I think actually Marie Tomkinson, you know, Australian representative equestrian rider, episode 5, she mentioned she always looks to aim for people who are better than her. Not people on her same shoulder, but better than her. And so she's surrounding herself with people who are greater than her and looking at them. And I think it's so key. I just think of Trevor Vincent, episode 8. And I'll keep saying episodes, but hopefully you guys can check out what really strikes with you. But Trevor Vincent, episode 8, you know, Commonwealth Games champion, steeplechaser, went to a couple Olympic Games. Actually, no, just 64 games. 64 games. And distance runner in athletics. And he had this gang, basically the Ferny Creek gang, they call themselves, super runners that ran around Melbourne in Victoria, Australia, and that included the likes of, you know, Ron Clark, basically the greatest distance runner to ever live, particularly during that era for sure, with about 16, 17 world records from a whole range of distances. And but Trevor hang around all those, and there's a heap of other running guys during that time as well. And Trevor was with them day in, day out, training and training and training and training with these guys, learning from them, pushing each other, feeding off these guys' energy. And in the process, Trevor became a superstar athlete himself and absolutely achieved some amazing results because of it. He had a superstar team around him. And the same goes for world champion athlete Benita Willis, who's another one, just super. She trained with Craig Mottram, who was a super runner. She trained with other great guy runners as well and also women as well, but took a lot of guy runners. She just ran with a heap of them, a real good tight-knit crew, but they're all real super motivated, super focused athletes wanting to achieve massive results. And she was a part of that and surrounded herself with the right people, the right coaches. And that's why she became a four-time Olympian, basically holds every Australian record from 2,000 meters to the marathon. Like, absolute crazy stuff. Super athlete, but she managed to get the right team around you. So you have to look at what you're trying to achieve, whether it be in sport, business, get the right people around you. It's pretty simple. And even another example, Gary Bucanara, episode 15, if I'm correct. He had obviously the Hawthorn team of the 80s around him. Super people. But it took his game to the next level. And he ended up winning four premierships. And made team of the century for the Hawks. Absolute super player. And I can guarantee you that the guys of, you know, Derek Brereton, Jason Dunstall, John Platten, like those guys would have helped him lift his game up to the next level. And because of that, he became a legend himself in AFL. And you're super catching up with him. So that's going to be definitely point four. Point five is work ethic. Now, this is a key one. Now, we hear this from the moment we're born by having a hard work ethic. And a lot of people these days, too, are finding really alike trying to find shortcuts, particularly sort of the younger generation and my generation, about finding quicker routes. And I'm all for that. I'm all for finding the most efficient way to get the results. Like, you can really make some hacks on some real cool shortcuts to get yourself, not shortcuts, but in terms of more effective strategies, is what I'm trying to say. And but a work ethic. But from that, a work ethic is still critical. I'm talking critical to your success. The ability to go day in, day out, day after another, 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks, months, years, decades, will result in some really amazing results. And one of my guests particularly, or maybe a couple, and they're both in the same sport, Marie Tomkinson, episode 5, and Caroline Wagner, episode 32. They were a couple in the equestrian field that really, for me, hit home regarding the work ethic required to be the best. Now, Marie could come off 2014 World Championships where she competed over in France. And to get to that point where she made the Australian team for the World Championships, she started, she's in her 40s. And she started riding when she was about 5-6 years old. So 5-6 years old in her 40s, nearly 40 years, nearly 4 decades, folks. 4 decades, just swallow that for a second. Not 4 months, not 4 years, 4 decades of work to get to that elite level. And she didn't even win a medal yet. She's still going, like she's still chasing those medals. But 4 decades to get on that team. And that's quite common in this particular equestrian field. And I just thought, wow, like what a work ethic. She goes day in and out. She has so many horses. She looks after, cares for, feeds, rugs. Not only herself, she trains. She rides numerous horses. I think we got an outline of her day. It's full on, day in, day out, 7 days a week. I think she has like a morning off one day a week, where she starts at about 11 o'clock in the morning. Like she works 7 days, 365 pretty much a year. Training for this, she's done it for nearly 4 decades, basically chasing that dream. And she got on that team, which was super. And she's chasing the dream to go on to Rio this year, 2016. So I just want you guys to realize that the work ethic required to get to the top can take decades. And don't get upset if you've done 3 months and you haven't got the results. You aren't making a dollar. You aren't getting success, you aren't getting clients, you aren't getting the grades you want, you aren't running the times you want, you aren't winning the particular events you want. It can take a while and you've got to be in there for the long haul. If you've got your right, if you go back, if you've got the right vision and you're following your passion and you've got, you're living out who you are, then that shouldn't matter. So you've got that all in a line. But just following that up with that work ethic is critical. So guys, make sure you have got your work ethic up to date. So just recapping the first 5, find your vision, follow your passion, don't be afraid to fail and dream big, surround yourself with greatness, and the 5th one was work ethic. Now, number 6 is going to be train your mind. This is what I really learned. And obviously, as a coach myself, I do this day in, day out. But it's just a couple of people brought it home to me about the importance of really training your mind. You know, we go to the gym, we lift weights and train our muscles and they get bigger and stronger and we think, great, we can see the results. But your mind's just the same. You've got to train. It's got to be a constant thing. It gets better with more activity, more training you give it, the better it gets, the sharper it gets, the more useful it's going to be to you. And let's be honest. Your brain is the one bloody thing that's going to get you from where you are now to where you want to go. Without your mind, it is the key thing to get you where you want to go. It's going to solve the problems for you. It's going to find solutions. It's going to find strategies. It's going to find people for you. It's going to tell you the right things. And you've got to know how to use your mind. And a couple of guys in particular brought it home to me. Jamie Glazier, mental performance coach, who I had on a couple of times, episode 6 and 25. And Zach Dixon, episode 12, were a couple of guys who I just thought about. And I thought they, obviously in this field, coaching people with mental performance, and just the importance of really focusing on that and maximizing it. And it's going to be an ongoing process. It's never going to stop. But I just thought training your mind. So I definitely recommend listening to episode 6 in particular, probably with Jamie Glazier's, and finding those strategies to take your mind game to the next level, because it is critical. If you are going to be successful in, you know, taking your game to the next level, your mind is going to have to be sharp and ready to roll, because it is the thing that's going to make it happen for you. So number 6, train your mind. Now, the 7th thing is greatness is in the small things. Now, this is just something I just came across and it sort of stuck with me. Was Brian Royal, episode 10. He's AFL legend, team of the century for the Western Bulldogs, best and fairest winner. Went on to coach a number of clubs as well, assistant coach. Super guy. It was super to catch him up there. And one of the things he said was really about, you know, the great things in the great clubs. Like, he had a particular point, was coaching a local club just now, and he noticed the change rooms were dirty after they finished. The players hadn't really cleaned up when they left, and it was all disgrace. And he took a photo of this change room, and at training the following week, he come up and he showed the team this photo. And he said, "Does this photo look like a club where the players respect it, treat it like it is their environment to achieve greatness, treat it like a place that they come to work, to come to play at their best?" And it was filthy, and he just showed that if this is going to be filthy in here, what makes you think you're going to play well out there on the field? And I just thought, it's just something about having that consistency, and greatness is in the small things, in regards to, you know, you got to have everything right, and everything, not everything right, but everything in line with what you're trying to do. And if your office is just all over the shop, do you think your business is going to be all in line? Like, how can that work? There's no consistency there. It's all about getting things consistent, about being great at the small things. And when you put a whole heap of small things greatly together, you get a great big thing. And I think that's what Brian Royal was really trying to say, was you can't be great out there if you can't get the small little thing right and great in here. And I just thought that was a little example that stuck with me throughout this year that I definitely thought was a point. And I think a lot of the guys from, you know, the athletes doing the, you know, doing 100 sit-ups, not doing 95, or, you know, the business people finishing off every email, not just forgetting a couple, you know, those type of things, just being great at the small things day in, day out, and that's where greatness really stems from. So I thought that was super. Final three. Hustle, but don't hustle to hustle. Now, this might kind of contradict number five, work ethic, but I just sort of thought hustle, but don't hustle to hustle was really come from James Shramko, who was episode 29. I just was fascinated by his lifestyle of, you know, really surfing, having a nice coffee, really enjoying each day and enjoying his life. And he's a multi-millionaire business guy, mind you. And I just sort of thought sometimes you got to remember to hustle hard, but don't just hustle to hustle to look good to your friends. Don't use it as an ego thing. Oh, I stayed up to 3 a.m. last night working, all grinding, and up 5 a.m. today, and I'm off doing this and this and this. You know, really prioritize your time, and don't, as James would say, don't, you know, some people might think you're leaving money on the table, but sometimes people leave life on the table. And I think I'm paraphrasing a bit there, but James is all about creating the life that you really want, not just a hustle life and just always grinding and trying to look cool in front of your mates, basically. You know, it's like the backyard with the, you know, the kids, and you're trying to look cool. Like, it's not necessarily cool just to grind all day long these days. Yeah, there are a more effective way of doing things. And if you are leaving a few bucks on the table, well, maybe you are in living a bit more life, and you are able to do things like James does. He's passionate for surfing, gets out there each day and has your time in the morning for a nice coffee and relax. And rather than rushing out the door and chasing every penny or chasing every moment, they've got to be hustling. And I just sort of think, sometimes you just need to slow down. It's something that definitely I'm working on. Like, I definitely is the point that I'm really trying to get a grip of, be more effective, using my time more. And it's constant. I know this. In 10 years, I'll be saying the same thing. I'll be constantly, I know it, but I'll definitely be applying it, which is what we're all about. But I'll be constantly looking at refining and getting better and better and better and better and better. And I think James would be too. He'll be definitely trying to refine his hustle and really getting better and more effective and enjoying his life and finding the balance for him and for him only. So that was definitely a really key one. So point eight, hustle, but don't hustle to hustle. Point nine, second last point for this part one. I'm going to be two-part series on this, and I hope you're enjoying this. I'm actually just sitting here and going through this, and it's really cool to think about the past year and all these amazing people, but I hope you're getting a lot out of this. Point nine, burn the bridge. Now, this one really probably stuck with me again. I've heard this definitely before. I'm sure a lot of people have, but Paul Higgins was one who really brought it home to me. He's a former director of Coca-Cola there and been there for a number of years, and his family was a part of that. I think his old saying was, if you cut him, he would bleed Coke. So he had Coke in his veins. But obviously he sort of felt, I think, discussing with him, that Coke, obviously in today's day and age with health reasons, wasn't really sitting well with him, and along with a couple of other things is going on in his life, but he ended up moving on. And he basically stopped on the spot, bang, left Coca-Cola and started his own business now. And this is all in episode 33 if you want to check it out too. But Paul started his own business, helping businesses scale, take them to the next level. And I just thought then how he burnt the bridge. Like, he left Coke, bang, there's no turning back. That's burning the bridge. Like, once you burn the bridge, there's only one way to go, and that's going forward. And that's basically what Paul's done for the last few years, going forward with his own business, because he can't go back. He can't turn around and go back to Coca-Cola now, because he's got this business going, and he made sure of that. And, like, yes, you can say, oh, yes, James, you can go back and ask for a job. Yeah, you probably can. But let's be honest. He burnt the bridge. He went forward. He didn't burn it in a bad way. He burnt it in a good way. He left on the good terms. He worked his heart out to the end and started his new thing. And I just thought, that's what you need. The real great ones really don't leave any other option but to go forward. Like, there's a story, actually, where Burn the Bridge comes from, actually. It's all about this story. It's a war story where basically this army came by a boat and got to this land, and they're fighting the enemy. And the general at the time of this particular army on the boats got to the land, and he said, set fire to all the boats. And so, reluctantly, they did set fire to the boats. And then he said to his crew, he said, now that there's no way to retreat, we can only go forward and win this battle or we die. And of course, with burning the boat, with no option, no back in your mind during the fight, that, oh, I can get out of this and jump on the boat and go back home, there wasn't that option. It was either basically fight and win or die. And I just thought, boom, like, in a very today, 2015 or 2016, I should say now, but 2015 for Paul Higgins, he did that in terms of leaving Coca-Cola and chasing his dream and now running a really successful business, burning the bridge. And I thought that's what we could do as individuals, whether we're chasing, businesses, our own athletic goals, whatever it is. What bridge do you need to burn that's holding you back? What sort of, you've got 1 foot in, 1 foot out of, like, you're not fully committed, you're not totally believing in yourself. What are you doing? Burn the bridge and chase it, and you'll find you'll get such better results, because most likely if you're in two boats at the same time, neither of them work very well, do they? So you really got to be burning that bridge, burning that boat, and getting on with what you really want to achieve and the real goal that you have for yourself. This brings me to my final number 10 learning principle for 2015. Give light from your darkness. There was a few people who really brought this home to me. I just, incredible individuals that, to be honest, when I sat down with them, sort of sat back in my seat a bit, blew your hairs back, got the hair sticking back up on the back of your neck, and really had me fully engaged and extra and fully engaged, if there's such a thing. And these two particular people, one particular probably was Heath Black, which was episode 17. Now, he struggled with ADHD and bipolar throughout his AFL playing career. He was an AFL player, played at the highest level for a couple of clubs here, and successful guy, but he struggled with those his whole life and had real issues, as you can imagine, because it was undetected, those two conditions. And it wasn't until he finished football that he finally found out, after having problems with the police and convictions and so forth and some crazy stuff, but it was incredible. And Heath finally got on top of that and still working on it today, but really started to find the medication help that he needed. And but it just made me think what he's doing now with his advocacy for this and for ADHD and mental health and all those type of things. He's speaking all across the country with numerous sporting associations. Like, he's really giving light from his darkness. There were some serious dark times, like serious dark times. I can't imagine how tough it must have been. And he's really giving light to that and to helping people, you know, overcome similar issues. And I just thought it was incredible. And I thought that's a great principle we can live by. You know, our hard times in our lives, we can really give light and help show the path for people who are struggling with similar things to overcome them. And I thought Heath, you know, giving light from his darkness was incredible. And I, you know, he was one guy. And probably another one was Toby Morrison. Toby Morrison, episode 18. Now, Toby struggled with chronic fatigue for 4 years. So basically, most of the time, bedridden, struggled to get outside the house, couldn't do much, had to drop out of school. Basically, really struggled with life for about 4 years, mind you. And now he runs his own company for the last 10 years or so, helping people overcome chronic fatigue syndrome and helping them live a life that they can really enjoy and really get them back on track with their health. And he's doing some amazing things. So his darkest times, he's you know, really shedding light on it and helping people get out of it. And he's got a huge community around the world now with him helping with chronic fatigue. And I thought he was an incredible individual as well. So giving light from your darkness is a key principle and a key learning for me and hopefully for you guys now for 2015. So guys, there you go. That's my first 10. I'm going to bring 10 more next week. I'm excited to do it and just these people are incredible and I hope you absolutely enjoyed the first year, 2015, of the JockX podcast. We're going to get massiver and massiver, is that even a word? We're going to get bigger and better in 2016. We'll be taking my game to the next level, living what I preach and getting some more amazing guests each week for you, I can guarantee. I've already got some months lined up that I'm super excited to get stuck into after these couple of reviews. Check these ones out, but really hope you enjoy this episode and I look forward to catching up next week with part 2 of my key learnings from 2015. So there we have it, folks. That's the wrap up for 2015. And just a few more moments of your time. Show notes of this episode will be on eliteteamleadership.com.au website. Well, notes and steps and key learnings from this. And we'll have part 2 next week, so keep your eye out for that. And also, guys, if you get the chance the first time listening, please subscribe to the iTunes. And if you can leave us a review, really helps us out getting some amazing guests for you guys to learn from. It really helps us out. So if you can just do a couple of minutes, jump on iTunes, give us a review, really helps us out here. So thank you. Hope you enjoyed that. Look forward to part 2. Hope you had a super 2015 and we are going to have a massiver, bigger and better 2016. So enjoy, guys, and we'll speak to you soon.